Is he not good? He is so good. You guys can go ahead, high five somebody around you. Take a seat if you're a guest. And by the way, let's just go ahead and say hello to all of our new people today. We got new people all. Come on, y'all. We give them a hand. We're glad you're here. Glad you guys are here as always. We have new folks every week. And let's go ahead and welcome our online church. Hey, guys. How you doing out there? And come on, man. Are we really proud they're here? Golf clap. Come on. Let's give them a hand. Yeah, we're glad you're here. It's nothing like being in the house. But, man, I'm so grateful we're able to take the message of the Word of God. And so many, it's just incredible what the internet allows us to do. Really, literally all over the world right now. Anybody who wants to access this can. And that still just blows my little 60-year-old mind all to pieces. Never could have fathomed that in our whole life, right? So what a blessing it is. Well, welcome to a brand new series we're starting today called Family. Everybody say family. Family is the key to our world. I think the breakdown of the family is the key to why our world's gone so south. And it's going to be, I think it's going to be one of the keys that we turn in order to bring our people literally all over the world back together again. It's going back to what God has ordained in family. And so this is February, and it's usually what we call it relationship month, a time, it's a love month. Come on, Valentine's Day, y'all ready? All the guys are like, I got it, man. I got the card done. I know where I'm getting the flowers. I know everything. It's all settled, right? That's good. I'm proud of you. I really am. I appreciate you in that. It is. Do what? Yeah, everybody but me. No. I'm ready. I am ready. I'm just going to say that right up in front of everybody. It is good to be together. Hey, I want to say this about this series. What we're about to do is really start into a four-message series. It's going to touch every aspect of family. And so today's marriage, next week's children. Come on, y'all. If y'all got kids, you need to be here next week. Learn how to take care of those kids. Discipline, unity, faith, all of those things that encompass what family is all about. And so don't check out here today if you are not married and you're maybe not ever going to get married, or if you are going to get married and you're not, and you haven't even found that person yet or whatever. Please don't check out on this. I want you to check in on this, because I don't care if you are married, have been married or not, or whatever your situation is, God redeems all these situations that we wish could have been different or might could have been different if we had done such and such or whatever. God is a God of redemption, and we're going to see that today. In connection with this, I wanted Liz to be up here with me today. God bless her. She's sick at home, and like many people, she's got the head crud and all of that stuff going on, and just is still in bed. But she just hurt really bad. A lot of folks are out today for that kind of thing, and so I'm praising. If everybody comes on the Sunday together at the same time on a regular Sunday, we won't be able to hold everybody in the building. Literally, I mean, it's that many people that are missing today. So praise God. And I want to just say that we've got coming up February 22nd, we have our marriage conference here. Come on, two or three people signed it. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. And reflecting love is the theme of it. And is it on? Oh, look there. It's the magic of that. If you shoot that little QR code right there with the camera on your phone, it'll take you to the website. You can register today. We've been announcing it for a couple of weeks now, but today's the final day if you want a t-shirt to register. So please do register today. We'd love to be able to get all, we've got to get those ordered to get those in. So when you click that QR code and go to that, you'll be able to get, you guys know how to do electronics, most of you. And if you don't, ask one of your, you know, junior high kids around you or something. They'll show you how to do it. And so they'll know how to do it really well. But this is an important time for us. It's going to be a really fun night. A night of information. Russ and Rebecca Howison are speaking, but y'all can come anyway. I'm just kidding. They're not here today. Bless their hearts. They're both sick at home as well. But I'm excited for them to do this. We were talking to them about it, and they were like, man, we'd love to do this. And so it's going to be an exciting night. We're going to have some fun time. We're going to do some door prizes. We're going to eat some Terra Novas. Praise the Lord. Come on, y'all. It's going to be good. And my brother back here says it's probably going to be at Terra Nova. We'll go over there and eat and come back over here and have a conference. That's going to be fun. And so do enjoy, sign up for that. Now, I want to say this, that if you look at that, you say, $60 for two people, that's going to be hard for me. If that's a difficult thing for you, please come and see me afterwards. We don't want people to miss these things because of the money situation. And if you are able, say, some of you have already told me, look, we're out of town that weekend, I can't go. Why not sponsor a couple that's going to be here? That would be a great way to do that. If you want to do that, please see me afterwards. And that's going to be a super great blessing to some folks and that are struggling right now that would really love to come but just can't. And so see me right after that, right after today's service, and let me know if you'd like to do that. There's four words that came to me yesterday as I was writing some extra stuff for the message, and it was this: listen, move, learn, and grow. Those are not in your notes. But when we walk through a series like this, I want you to listen. You have to listen to what's going on. I don't know everything there is to know about all these things, but God's given me some great stuff from His Word and through experience and so on. And then if you don't move on what you hear, then what you hear is not really doing you any good. So you got to move. You got to do something. You got to make a move, okay? And so if you hear something, you go, I don't know about that. If you don't know how to move, see me out. We'll talk about how to move. Learn. Learn through all these things. And then if you do those three things, I promise you'll do the fourth thing, and that is grow. You're going to grow through this series. I promise you that. It's cool to me that God chose, out of all things He could have figured out at the beginning of things, like He had to figure anything out. God don't figure anything out. Nothing ever occurred to God. God didn't go, I don't know. He never said that. He knew exactly what the plan was from the beginning. And one of the coolest things to me is that from the very beginning, God saw fit that family, husband, wife, children, were a part of the plan. Children were not a curse because Eve sinned, okay? We think that sometimes, but children were in the plan all along. There's some other things that came along with it from the sin, but children were in the plan all along. So if you ever look at your child and they're just misbehaving, you're going, Lord, I understand the curse. I get it. No, that is not what that's about at all. At all. They are a blessing from God. In fact, the Bible says you have a quiver full of them, you're a blessed person. And so this idea of family was God's idea. So here's what He said in the Word. Genesis chapter 2, verse 21, 22 says, so the Lord God caused man to fall into a deep sleep. Now, this is after man has looked at all the animals. He's named all the animals. And Scripture indicates and says that he didn't find anything comparable to him. So God causes him to go to sleep. While the man slept, the Lord took out one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. First surgery in the Bible right there, you know. Open, takes a rib. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib and brought her to the man. Now, when Adam had never seen a woman, let alone a naked woman at this point, and he's seen all these animals and he's compared everything, he's like, No, that's not good. No, that's not going to be. No, he couldn't find anything comparable to him. And then he brought the woman to him. And the Hebrew, if you read this in Hebrew, the Hebrew language is a visual language. And so when you read it in English, it doesn't sound really all that like romantic or whatever. But I looked it up, did some deep study. And this week I found the actual translation for what Adam actually said the first time he saw Eve, and here's the way it went.
At last, my love has come along.
That's the translation from the Hebrew right there, all right? Isn't that good? Isn't that good? We laugh about that. We laugh about that. I hope Facebook don't kick us off for using that. We do not have the rights to that song. Anyway, all right, So I thought maybe 11 seconds would be fun to do. But what brought that song to mind is the actual scripture. The New Living Translation translates it this way. When he sees her, he says, at last, the man exclaimed. It goes south from here, guys. Don't use this with your wife, okay? I'm saying at last is great, but don't say, oh, bone from my bone and flesh from my flesh. And he says, she will be called, whoa, man. That's probably more like what he said. This was not one of those, like, when you read this from the Bible, the English translation, it's almost like, you know, Adam stood up and gave what Andy Griffith would call a soliloquy, where you look off and you go, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my... He didn't do that. He's really exclaiming here that she's exactly what I've been looking for. And the connection with that, he concludes with this. This is his conclusion. Scripture says, this explains why a man leaves his father and mother, joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. God created this bond of marriage, and I believe, all joking and fun aside, I believe it's the foundation of all family to come. In fact, Eve, the name, means the mother of all living. It's this idea that God created this solid foundation that our world has skewed and messed up. And we'll talk a little bit about that, but not much. I don't want to concentrate on how the world's messed it up. I just really want to say this is really God's plan. And it's good, and it's a wonderful thing. Scripture says this about God's creation. In chapter Genesis 1, verse 27, it says, so God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them male and female. He created them. You see, God created them in this way, in his own image, so that they would forever be connected to the divine. That we as humans are forever connected to something that it's almost like we want to get our hands on, but we really can't. We can aspire to and read about and hope for. And with Holy Spirit coming, he can live in us and we can be close to God. And we want to be right there with him. The longing of heaven, I believe, started here. I believe the longing of heaven, because it was heaven. It was paradise until sin came. And when sin came and separated all of that, now you have human beings who are, I don't even want to use the word groping, because God says, I'm as close as a whisper. The groping part of it, where we're trying to find things and struggle with all this, is our problem, not God's. God said, I'm right here. I'm gone. I'm chasing after you even. He wants you, not to get you, but to get you. He wants to be in your life. We are uniquely special, inseparable in our uniqueness to God. And the propensity our world has right now to combine the two and put them together and try to figure all these things out, in my opinion, is blasphemy against the Scripture, not because it's the thing Christians want or the Bible wants or it's the right and the wrong. It's the very nature of what God created. And so the reason for the confusion and the problem and the suicide rate and the issues that go on with people who are reaching out to so many skewed versions of what God created, a simple man, woman for life as husband and wife, is really messing up our society. And we see it all the time. And we can't circumvent that ever. It's not something we can compromise on in the least. I didn't say there's temptations. I'm not denying there's temptations. I'm not denying there's problems. But we don't skew that. And when you, in a husband-wife relationship, and the devil begins to whisper to you that things would be better on the other side, that the grass is greener on the other side, you need to cast that out and say, the grass is greener where I water it. The grass is greener where I tend it. And I take care of it, and I nurture it, and I cherish it, and I bring it in instead of pushing it out. And I just want to make it a very sacred thing. And I just did Trinity and Andrew's wedding. Hey, congrats, by the way, guys. That's awesome. And I'll be honest with you, weddings are not my most fun thing to do. I know this sounds weird, but funerals are easier than weddings most of the time. I mean, funerals are kind of like, it is what it is. You know, with marriage, you've got what Aunt Susie wants and Uncle Fred wants and all these things and all the stuff that comes into it. And it's like, oh, let's just do this thing, you know. But our culture, guys, our culture is trying to separate the sacred from that. And I don't, whether you do the ceremony sacred or whatever, I'm not so worried about the ceremony. I'm worried about what people think about the actual joining together of man and woman as husband and wife. The real point of it is that we're connected to the sacred. The Scripture indicates that we long for eternal things. My heart longs for something deeper than what this world has to offer. And the reason you do that and I do that is because God put that in you to do that. Your children know it probably better than us do. They know that there's something bigger and greater out there than them. They have no problem with their little minds accepting who Christ is and walking into him. And we grow up and we get older and we get logical, we get smarter and all these things, and all of a sudden we start questioning all this stuff and throw it out, man, because the foundation of all of this is God. And we are connected to him forever, and marriage is one of the places where that is most sacred in our world. So we're going to fill in some notes. If you got your notes pages when you came in this morning, by the way, if you're a guest today, you're brand new, please grab a connection card out of the chair in front of you. Fill that out. Drop it in those little black boxes back there, or you can go online at our website at discoveryal.church and do the same. But we're going to fill in some blanks today and hopefully learn a little bit more. And some of you are going to think, man, this is so elementary. I have learned something about preaching and teaching. Just because it's elementary to you and me doesn't mean that everybody in the room or everybody online or everybody's going to listen to this at some point, whether it's later on or whatever. It's going to be the first time they've ever heard it. And so that's the way I try to speak this, make this to where people can palate it. They can take it and imbibe it and live it and walk at it. I hope that's for us today. Okay, y'all ready for some blank filling in? Here we go. Blank number one is this, that the foundation of family is marriage. Marriage is the foundation of family. And I'm going to use some passages from some words from Ephesians 5, very familiar passage to anybody that knows your Bible a little bit. If you've ever been to a wedding, you've probably heard this read or talked about or referred to. And the first thing that we often skip over is chapter 5, verse 21, where the scripture says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. The absolute best gift. By the way, babies all over this place and more to come. I mean, Charlotte back here, I look at Byron, hold that little baby girl back there, and I just don't, y'all don't look back, you won't listen to me anymore. She's too cute. I mean, it's just the way it is. I mean, and you got one over here and over. It's going, and these little children, let me tell you, the best possible thing you can possibly give those little babies is a foundation of strong marriage. I believe that with all my heart, that when you give them that foundation, they have something to stand on. That's, and I'm going to connect it to God the way it needs to be connected in a bit, but it's a priority over all earthly relationships. God first, spouse second, children, and so on. And even, check that out, even if you've messed it up, because in our culture, a lot of us mess it up, and it just is what it is. But even if you have, I said it earlier, God is the God of redemption. Jesus is he's the Savior of love. And loving your spouse with all your heart is so, so very, very important. And so here's the thing. God's plan for marriage is this. First of all, you have to settle your relationship with the Lord. If that is not settled, if you and yourself, if you have no, like, idea what that means, then I want you to talk to us afterwards or whatever, but it's literally assenting to faith, saying that I believe Jesus is Lord and I want to make him Lord of my life. That means he gets to sit on the throne of your heart and he judges everything about you. Don't take judging the bad way. He actually rules over that to the point where he'll fill you with Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will come and convict you to do what Jesus wants you to do. And it becomes this beautiful marriage of you and God. And in fact, the church is called the bride of Christ. He even connects himself to the church just like this husband. It's the foundation of all wonderful relationships. So first thing you have to do is submit yourself to the Lord. And then we live in relationship with one another, bound by his love for us. It should dictate every aspect of whether you're a child being a great child or a parent being a great parent or a husband or wife. It should dictate everything. So two quick points, and that's this. First of all, husbands, love your wives. I flipped the scripture on this just a little bit because I wanted to start this. I want to try to sew a thread that's in Scripture in here today. I want to try to picture this. We did it a couple of weeks ago when I had all the men come down in front of. We prayed over all the men. It was a beautiful picture of men shoulder to shoulder. And it's just God has put this on hearts of people. You know, Caleb and John are working on this men's ministry. We've got men's breakfast going on. We've got a lot of things that are happening for our men. Gridiron Conference coming up in June. All these different things that are happening. It's like God is saying to us, don't forget the thread that I put in Scripture from generations to revolutions. That's funnier to me than y'all. From Genesis to Revelation. That there's this thread that God said, I want my men to stand up for me. And so I flipped this a little bit. Husbands, love your wives. Just as Christ loved the church, he gave up his life for her. These are characteristics of how to love your wife as Christ loved the church. to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. Did you hear the responsibility in all of that? You see, if you're going to help your wife be who she needs to be, then you first have to be who you need to be, because she can't be who she's going to be without you being who you need to be. And you say, well, wait a minute, she's stronger in this than I am. Well, that's your fault. I'm sorry, guys. If my wife is stronger in spiritual things than I am, that's on me. And I don't think there's a competition here that I want me to be stronger than Liz in this and Liz stronger than me. It's not about that. It's just about us taking the responsibility that God has placed within us to say, if you're going to love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her and cleansed her by the washing of the water of the word, there's a lot of sacrifice and a lot of word and a lot of things in those sentences. How did Jesus love the church? He humbled himself. He came here. He sacrificed himself. He's a protector of us. And this whole idea of loving our wives has a purpose and a focus. And that is so that you and I can help her be holy and clean. That's what the scripture says, by the washing of the water, by the word. Is we have to know, be inside the word and know what the word is. Not just know about the word, but know the word. Jesus is the word, scripture says, John chapter 1. We got to have a relationship sown into him. And there's not a woman who sold out to Jesus who wouldn't give everything she has to have a man who sold out to Jesus more than she is. Come on, ladies, there ought to be somebody say amen right there. I believe that with all my heart. And if it's not, then there's a submission problem there. We'll talk about that in just a bit. It means that I have to be submitted to the word myself if I'm going to help her be submitted to the word. I have to encourage her with the word if I want. I have to be encouraged with the word if I want to encourage her with the word. And we don't abdicate that. That means we don't give that away. In Southern culture especially, man, it's like, you got to man up. Got a man up. I got to be the man, you know. I got to go out and do the jobs and all these things. And listen, we need a little more masculinity in our world. Amen, guys? Come on. But here's the thing. It's not just about mustering up strength. It's not just about manning up. It's about being who God called you to be. And I promise you, when that happens, the strength that is in that is going to outweigh any, you know, set of dumbbells or barbells or whatever that you can lift, you know. And it's all tied together, but it's really centered in the spiritual thing. And here's the thing. You say, well, I don't even know what that means. I would love to have men who were honest enough to look at me and say, you know what? I've not done this enough in my life that I actually don't even know what you're talking about. I can deal with that. I can walk with that. You get a man who humbles himself and says, you know what? Pastor Keith or whoever, talk. We got so many men of God in this room that will help you do this. You need to be connecting and attaching yourself to somebody who's stronger than you are in faith. I have men all around me who are so much deeper and more strength than them. And by the way, not all of them are just older than me. Most of them are, but not all of them are. There's strength when we come together in this idea of, well, I don't really know what to do. I don't know what to do. Be honest enough to say that. Open up and say it, because here's the thing. One of the principles we believe here is it's never too late to be who you might have been. Don't say, well, man, I'm in my whatever age. You just named the age. It's too late for me. No, it's not. No, it's not. There's never a too late when you humble yourself before God and you work on that relationship that you have with him, and then you start learning what that means. Now, I will be honest with you, if this has not been your pattern and you come home and change it that quick, it's going to be some weird stuff going on in your, what in the world happened to you? That happened to me years ago in my young life. I changed my life in a heartbeat, and all my friends thought I was nutso. What are you doing? You're not participating in this anymore. You're not going to that anymore. You're not doing this anymore. I said, no, my relationship with God is more important than you guys. And what's so cool about that is all those guys, most of them that I know of anyway, they're all believers now. They're all strong believers now. Not because of me, but because God has this tendency to put whatever seed's been placed into you to help a seed grow. Just let it germinate in your life. You say, I don't know what that means. Please don't not know what that means. It starts with submission. It starts with some learning. It starts with some humility. It starts with some things where you need to say, okay, I don't really understand, but I'm willing to learn. And that's submitting yourself before God so that, number two, wives love your husbands. Scripture says this to the wives. For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Now, I underlined that in my notes, and I thought, as unto the Lord. Because learning that and reading that as a young Christian, I thought, I get married, man, I'm the Lord of this house. That's what that says. She's got to bow to me just like she would before Jesus. That is not, yeah, good luck with that, somebody said. That is not what the scripture is saying. It's not that at all. We're going to see that a little bit, can I say this to you ladies? In the 21st century, there is submission that has to be happening here. There is submission here. Submitting to one another in fear of God, we get that. We understand that men need to be submitted before God. But I'll show you what we learned last year when we did this kind of similar message. Listen to this. Husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. It's pretty plain. 1 Corinthians says that the man is God is the head of Christ, Christ is the head of man, man is the head of woman, woman's head. And there's this order. It's called a spiritual creative order of things. And y'all, you guys in leadership, y'all know, man, everybody in this church, all the dream team knows just how much I fight hierarchy leadership, because hierarchy leadership has created some pretty bad stuff in the church. And I'll just say this, it's created some pretty bad stuff in the home for men who are not submitted to God. If you're not submitted to God, then you will see that as you're a ruler and she's got to bow to the ruler. And that's not what the scripture is saying at all. At all. What he's saying here is the husband's the head of the wife, is Christ the head of the church. He is the savior of the body, the church. Did you hear what he just said that Jesus is? He's the savior of the body, which is the church, which is supposed to be what your husband looks like. The savior of the body, his family. The protector of the body, his family. So as I preach this, I'm thinking in my mind that some people are thinking, well, man, it doesn't look like that way in my home. That's okay. That's okay. But it can with what God has to put in your heart through the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, when a man is living, as described in the first point, there's not a woman in the world who's submitted to God who would not want him to lead in their family. I just thought about this too late. I've always wanted to do like a little friendly survey, just send out a message. Would you love for your husband to be more submitted to Jesus? I mean, obviously, that's a bad way to ask the question, because there's not a man in here who wouldn't say, I'd love to be more submitted to Jesus. We want to be more submitted, but you got to start. You got to focus on this somewhere. And if this is hard for you to hear, then probably you're fighting this idea that I preached last year. You go back and listen to the message. It's called Spirit-Led Relationships. And the idea is that if the Spirit's leading what's in our heart, then we're not submitting to one another. We're submitting to Him. We're submitting to Him. This word submission, sub means under, and mission, you know what that means. It's under mission. I'm under a mission. I have a mission in this world, and it's a respectful choice to live under the authority of a man who's submitted to Christ. It is a choice. It is a choice. It's like submitting under leaders of any kind who are under Christ. The problem comes when we're not under Christ. I'll say that in a minute, but and here's the thing, and I've been talking to some people about this week, and I'm going to say this. And you guys can take it however you want to take it. But here's the thing. If your man is a spiritual leader, you need to let him lead. Now, when I say that, you say, well, wait a minute. Man says, I'm the head of the house. You don't let me do anything. Yeah, I've said this, you know, I'm the head, Liz is the neck, she can turn the head any way she wants to, right? Okay, that's kind of a funny joke we say sometimes. But what we're not, this is not a battle for superiority. That's the problem our culture has made this. It's a battle for superiority. Women, man ain't going to put me down. I'm gonna, and all this stuff, y'all, it's just so skewed. And men are going, okay, if you want it, go ahead. I'll just go to work. You teach the kids about Jesus. You take them to church. You do what you need to do. I'll just buy out. I'll just go to work. It's easy to go and make money to pay the bills. It's hard to go make money and pay the bills and be a spiritual leader at home. That is difficult. That is a leading of God to call us to a higher calling in everything that we're doing. Can I just say, sometimes you ladies scare us just a little bit. God, amen for me and baby. Me like, yes, sir, Lord. Come on, yeah. You do. And you don't have to say anything. It's the look. It just is. It is. Here's the thing. Seriously, we don't need to be scared in our own home. Women don't need to be scared in their own home. Children don't need to be scared in their own home. Some of you grew up in homes where you were scared in your home. You didn't have the godly man to show you who Jesus looked like. You didn't have that. And you're scared of it because you've seen the bad part of that. You're scared of it because you've seen something that is not right about that. And the beautiful thing about still breathing is you have the opportunity to make this so much better. And I'm going to tell you something to the men. Guys, come on, we shouldn't have to be prodded to go to church and read our Bible and pray. We shouldn't have to ask, our wives should not have to ask us to pray. We shouldn't have to, let's take the lead in that. Let's just freak our whole family out and go home today with a sold out thing of Jesus. And by the way, if you don't, if you're younger or older and you're not married yet, please start this now if you're not. My grandchildren need to see me as a papa of God first. And so this spreads out all over the place. Discovery Church needs the men to step up and be men of God. We need women of God who want to give what God has given and serve in all these different ways. We just need one another because here's the thing. We got to go forth with the responsibility that God has given us. And sometimes I think God is just kind of going, okay, I'm waiting on you. I go back to that Matthew West song, you know. Lord, why don't you do something? He said, I did. I made you. And so the challenge is that. And here's, I wrote this, I didn't put it in your notes, but the real problem with spiritual leadership is submitting to one and submitting to one another comes when we neglect our own walk with the Lord. When we do, we become selfish and move away from what God has intended. Sin itself is really stepping away, missing the mark from what God intended for us to do and be. When we challenge each other in the spirit, and we challenge each other with spiritual things, it's oftentimes asking us to step out of something we're comfortable in into something we're uncomfortable in because we need to grow in that area. And so as we do that, even in the family, I'm asking all of us as families, can you imagine the spiritual strength of a church where every man said, I'm going to be the kind of husband that my wife will want to be under submission to be submitted to Christ. And to have every woman say, I am going to submit myself and lead. And by the way, submission doesn't mean you don't lead. I'm not saying that at all. And I'm not going to, do I have to qualify that anymore? No. I just don't want to qualify it anymore. I just want to say that it's a beautiful relationship that God created and we ought to live in that. But as I end today, I know you guys that are taking notes, you're looking at your notes, and he's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 more points. What's he going to do? Well, we're going to bullet point those, and these are the practical part of the message as we end our service today. In fact, when I was writing this message, and I just started, sometimes I'll just sit at my desk or wherever I am, sometimes at a restaurant or whatever. Sometimes I'm just not even thinking about this at all, and God will give me something. I'll get my phone out and just start putting notes in the notes pages and stuff like that, or dictating. And this is what came out. When these next five things started just like bullet points coming out of my head. And I just thought, you know what, I want to give the teaching. And then what I want to do is kind of give you some practical things that is going to help you be able to get into alignment with what God is doing. By the way, speaking of alignment, major man, that brother come over here yesterday and gave us some adjustments. When my body is in alignment, when my spine is in alignment, pain goes away. And I think the same principle is true with spiritual things. When you align yourself up with what God has done, when you align yourself up with God has intended and start doing that, wherever you are, whatever your situation is. And, you know, let's just admit it. Some people have a very difficult time with this because they have no help at home. We ought to be understanding and loving and kind and say, hey, we want to help you with this and teach them how to be patient. I missed a verse, by the way. I got to go back and get this because he says to wives in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, he says, wives, accept the authority of your husbands. Then, even if some refuse to obey the good news, your godly lives will speak to them without any words, and they will be won over, how? By observing your pure and reverent lives. You make it so tasty they want some of it. It's like when you cook or whatever. When I don't cook much. I'll cook you a mean egg. But when Liz cooks, it's spiced up. It's got just the perfect. She's a really, really good cook. And I can come home and smell it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, it's going to be good tonight. And that's what I want people to see in me. I want people to be around me long enough and say, I want what he has because he's connected to something I can't even imagine. And we do that in our families. And then now for the last part of the message here. And the passage that came in my head is actually the theme verse for our theme passages for. It was so weird because I'm referring back to this passage. And as I'm reading it, I'm thinking, wait a minute, this is the marriage conference theme verse. And I thought, well, I don't need to put that in there. And I thought, no, maybe I do. Maybe it just needs to be reiterated. Scripture says this in Colossians chapter 3, 12 to 14. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves. There's your picture, isn't it? Thank God y'all got clothes on today. And he's saying that you clothe yourself. You clothe yourself. That's such a beautiful picture. One of the pictures of baptism is you put on Christ. It's just and you become this walking fashion person for Jesus. You clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness, humility. As I'm reading these, people's faces come up in my mind. Gentleness and patience. Bear with each other. Forgive one another. If any of you has grievance against someone, that includes your spouse and your kids and the person who wronged you years ago and the person you've got a root of bitterness so deep in your heart right now it's hard for you to root it up. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Really? And over all these virtues, if you want to sum it up into one word, it has to be love. And you were getting here, right? It's the love month. You walk through the Valentine's aisle at the store and you see all these red hearts everywhere and all these things. And we got emojis to go with all that now on our phones and all this stuff. All that becomes so much sugary, sweet candy and niceties and those kind of things. How many of us would much rather have a lifestyle change than a car on Valentine's Day? How many of us would love to see the heart of a person change to the point that their whole demeanor changes in their life for the better? That's what that passion says. And here's the five bullet points for you guys who've got to fill those blanks in today. First of all, humility in actions. Humility, bearing with each other. You just got to bear with me sometimes. I probably said some things today that you're like, I don't know if I agree with that or not. Just bear with me. If you did, let's talk about it. Be humble. Let's be humble. Come to each other and talk about it. In relationships, it has to be that way. Forgiveness first. Forgiving one another as Christ forgave you. By the way, forgiveness is not an option in Christianity. You don't get to opt out on that one. You don't get to say, well, I'll forgive, but I'm getting my $5 worth. I'm getting my money's worth, and then I'll forgive. Wrong spirit, wrong attitude. Totally not what Jesus said, because Jesus had every right to say, I'm coming off this cross. These people have spit on me. They have crushed a crown of thorns on my head. They've whipped me till near death. They've hammered me to this cross. I'm done with it. I'm out of here. I'm coming down. And not a spike in his arm nor anything that was there held him there, but the love he had for you and for me. That's the kind of love we're talking about. I love this next one. Assume the best in each other, not the worst. Can I just confess to you that sometimes it's easier for me to see the negative than it is the positive? And it's easy for me to speak that out loud. One of the things I'm trying to learn in my life is to stop speaking the things out loud that I do not want in my life, because we need to speak things that are not as though they were, Romans chapter 8. We need to speak life over people. So many of you have had church just beat you down so much that you're just so done with church. If I see one more post about church hurt, it drives me bananas. It's a real thing. But let me tell you something. The next church you go to is going to have people in it too. It's the same thing in marriage. Well, I don't like this one. I'll just go do another one. You're going to be married to a person? And they're going to look at you funny too. And they're not going to do the right things all the time either. Why don't you just keep what you got and work on that? I'm sorry. I went off a little bit. My bad. Your spouse is God's chosen, he says in that text. Your friends are God's chosen people. This church is God's chosen. So is the other churches around us there that proclaim Jesus. We just have this idea of assuming the best in each other. And the devil wants us to not do that. It throws all kinds of wrenches in our works. Don't give the enemy a foothold to think one negative thought about somebody else. Clarify, love. Next one, develop trust. One of the things I've learned in a principle of leadership is trust is assumed, mistrust is earned. Let me say that again. We say trust is earned. You got to earn my trust. No. Mistrust is earned. Once you earn a mistrust, then you got to redevelop that trust. So when I wrote this point, I thought, it sounds almost like you've already lost that trust. But if you don't have a deep trust in your mate, your spouse, you need to develop that. Maybe y'all need to have some conversation. And by the way, nothing is wrong with getting some help with that. Please get some help before you need some help. I hope that makes sense to you. Your past doesn't determine your future. So no matter how you got mistrusted in the past, it doesn't have to develop for you in the future. You can choose to change that as you move forward. And then, and by the way, I say by the way too much, I'm sorry. In developing trust, I said this one time, and I had a guy in my Bible class argue me down. He argued me down so bad. He said, it was a men's class, and I said, how many of you would be able to be open and honest with your wife completely? Like, she asks you a question, you're going to tell the truth. There's a truth about men, and that's this. If telling the truth hurts us, we almost will lie every time. So if I tell you the truth and you're going to punish me for it, the push in my fleshly self is to lie about it and deal with the lie later. And that develops mistrust. So we have to develop a relationship where we can have openness and honesty. And the only way that can happen is to understand that God already knows everything that you've messed up in. It's okay to confess that to somebody else and have that. And then the last one is one I thought of in my King James translation. I grew up on the King James, so a lot of Bible verses come out King James before I figure out what they actually mean. And it's kind of a joke, but not. But the last one is to prefer one another. And I thought of the passage. It's Romans 12:10. I couldn't remember where it was, and so I began to research and look. But Scripture says, in honor, preferring one. So in my life, if I prefer to be with somebody, I want that to be Liz. She's my wife. I enjoy spending time with her more than I do you. And I want to spend that time with her. And that I think that that's the way marriage ought to work. We ought to prefer. Now, there's times when, you know, it's okay. Take some time. Get away from each other and all that. You know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to get you to understand that my preference is the one to whom I've given my life. And that supersedes all other relationships on this earth. And it's led by the top of the triangle, Jesus Christ himself. Would you stand with me, please? Understood something today, you need to clarify that. We need to have clarity. And all these people, for you guys who are guests in our church, you see all these people moving around. They're going to take their place as our prayer team. And I have a special request for you today. If you're married and your spouse is here with you today, or even if they're not, and like they may be sick at home or mine is, but if they're here with you today, I'm gonna request that you step out to somebody close to you as a couple and just go be prayed over. You don't have to have a problem. It doesn't have to assume there is a problem. Just simply step out to these people who are anointed of God to pray over you and let them do that. Let them do that. Let them bless you. Let them pray a blessing over you. Don't miss the opportunity to do that in this moment. If there is a problem, it's okay to talk about that, but I'm saying that we're not assuming that. Step out and be prayed over today. God is amazing. So, Father, as this morning, I just want to say that to you. I just want to say to everybody, you are. I don't know the word. Awesome, amazing, wonderful, powerful creator. You're the sustainer of everything that we are, Lord. You're the God who created relationship, made them. And so we trust you in all of that. And I pray this morning over all of our relationships, but today especially over relationships in a marriage relationship. For the marriages who may be struggling, Lord, I pray for the gift of an open heart and openness to be able to go and share with someone to get help with that. Father, you lead people to a place they need to go to receive that kind of help. Father, for the men of our church, I pray, God, over the men of our church that they will, if they're not married, they'll be aspiring to be good husbands one day. And if they are, that they will even aspire to be better than where they are in their walk with you, God. Whatever that looks like for them, for the wives, I pray, God, that they will aspire to have this great, great relationship with you as their family lives under submission, not just to a godly husband, but to you, Father, who is guiding the whole thing. For children in this room who need to turn their life around and to come back to you, Lord, and to strengthen that, Lord, I pray over them right now that they will be able to step up and step out to their parents and say, I just want to be a better person for Jesus today. I want to shine that light in our family more and more and more. Father, I pray against the enemy today in our families. I pray against any kind of confusion, any kind of relationship issues. I pray against depression and anger and anxiety and frustration and misunderstanding. God, I pray for wisdom. I pray that, Father, you will speak wisdom through your word and the power of your word into the lives of those of us who are men of God who want to do better, want to know more, want to hear you more, want to hear your voice more. Pour into our lives what we need you. We have to have you. Pour into our lives the wisdom for all the people in this room, God, to be moms and dads and children that you, Father, that you are leading. And I praise you. As we worship today, God, your goodness is so good. You're so good. We accept that. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name.
Sing all my life. All my life you have been faithful.
Not against you.
Your goodness is running after. It's running after.
Why
is
so good?
Put my life laid down.
Lay it down before him.
Now I give you everything. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me.
Thank you, Lord, for your goodness.
Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything.
I give you everything. That's a prayer. So if you're not able, and I get it, man, sometimes it's hard. It's so hard to do something you're out of comfort zone with. Can I just encourage you when you leave today to spend 5 minutes together as family, as couples, and just pray together and ask God to fill you with His Holy Spirit. It's been so awesome to be with you guys today. There are people still praying. Our prayer team will be here, won't go anywhere. If you guys want prayer afterwards, we'd love to be able to do that. Just come and make that known. We're certainly glad to do that. Again, if you're a guest, if you fill a connection card out, please put those in the box as you leave this morning. We just want to connect with you. We're not going to bother you. We just love to connect with you. So glad you're here today. Father, one more blessing over these people, God. You go with us today. Help us to be the light of Jesus in the world, wherever we go, Lord. Whether we're in a restaurant eating or we're going home or wherever we're going, Father, I just pray that we will be who you called us to be. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, amen. You guys have a great Sunday. I love you. I love you. I love you. Come on, give God a hand clap of praise right there. He's good. He's good. Woo!